Well, today's Tuesday, December 11th. And that means we're in for more technology news. This is going to be government and
social, which often go together, not because they're all that related, but because it just works out that way with the amount of stories.
Now, after the last 2 weeks of Facebook stories, we put a moratorium on Facebook stories, but things have gotten so bad for Facebook that we have to laugh about it.
I think those are great stories.
They are.
It's going to be a lot of fun. But first, I'd say probably in the history of the Level One News, the number one leadoff story is Ajit Pai.
This is the Ajit Pai show, I guess. Ajit Pai buries two-year-old speed test data in the appendix of a 762-page report. So the story here is that the FCC under Tom Wheeler used to release a bunch of reports about broadband and mobile access and a whole bunch of things at different times during the year. Well, since Ajit Pai took office, they haven't released much of anything. And so he's saying, look, we're putting this all in one convenient report that only comes out once in a blue moon. And that's better, right?
But there's more to that story, because last week we talked about, I can't remember which website it was, but somebody did some investigative reporting and went to the company that collates all that data and asked them. They're like, hey, why did you stop doing this? And the company happily admitted, we never stopped doing that. We've submitted those reports every year, as asked.
The appendix for the 2017 report is written as if it was written in 2017. So they've just been sitting on it forever.
Yeah, so probably they put it in that big report because they've now been found out.
Yeah.
And that's been their MO.
There have been FOIA requests. Like, they've been so slow that there have been Freedom of Information requests.
But they ignored those.
Yeah, they did.
But you can't ignore it once you get ratted out by the company that's actually doing the work.
Yeah.
So now everybody knows it exists. You got to tell them about it. So what do? You bury it in a report during the holiday season.
And then the next thing happened, which is also really fun. The FCC to probe whether carriers gave inaccurate broadband coverage data. Now, this is similar to that report, but this is not exactly the same thing. So this is a bunch of carriers reporting to the FCC what their coverage is. And they're basically, so there's these subsidies that we always talk about. There's about $10 billion left in that fund for adding internet access and coverage in rural areas. And there's this kind of process where different companies will sort of bid on it. But the bidding is sort of this dystopian ass backwards thing where it's like, oh, we've got this many customers in our area and we think we can cover this many customers for this amount of dollars. And then the government will give them those dollars. But as we've learned on the Level One News, in the history of ever, that has never ever happened. Anytime the government has done that, it has not worked out. Like, no promises have ever actually been kept, ever.
So this is the infamous map that they talk about, the broadband map, and it is supposed to show them what areas need attention, but everybody knows that it's horribly flawed.
Yeah.
And it shows coverage where there is none. And in fact, the New York Times did a little investigating and they found out, sure enough, it's all incorrect, and there's way more people than anybody thought who are living without broadband.
The methodology, I would go so far as to say that the methodology that the SEC has adopted is deliberately misleading, because if one address in one zip code is covered, the entire footprint of that entire zip code is considered covered. And that is blatantly dishonest from the start. So how can you possibly not overrepresent the number of addresses that have coverage?
And you might be thinking, wow, you know, it seems like it's a bad week for Ajit Pai, right? did he piss somebody off? Did he not make his payment this month? And it's just going to get worse.
The FBI is now investigating fake anti-net neutrality comments. I'm surprised by this. Well, I'm surprised for two reasons. One, why did it take this long? And number two, when we originally reported on this years ago, we said, hey, isn't this identity theft? How is it possible that whoever did this is able to get away with it? Is it because it's, you know, from inside the government?
Well, a lot of the repeal of net neutrality, one of the things that it did that a lot of people don't like is it took a lot of things out of the hands of the FCC, put them in the hands of the FTC. And hey, maybe that's a good thing, right? Maybe they're not captured and maybe they'll do a better job. Well, we've got a new top dog at the FTC and there's some interesting news.
I want to, like, the FTC being in charge of this is like, the Forestry Service being in charge of speeding tickets. I mean, come on. But the FTC's top consumer protection official can't go after Facebook or 100 other companies. And the reason for that is a conflict of interest. So the current lead of the FTC was a lawyer for a law firm that represented a lot of huge companies, including Facebook, Microsoft, and a whole bunch of AT&T, I think.
Equifax.
Maybe not AT&T, actually. Equifax and a whole bunch of other companies. And because of that, they are not allowed, like the whole revolving door thing, like the FTC could theoretically investigate those companies, but that guy can't be involved with that.
Yeah, he's made statements that, hey, the FTC is really busy, and just because it's these 100 companies, I'm still going to have plenty to do. But a lot of people come back with, like, but these are the ones that need attention. The top dog is going to go after, you know, mom and pop grocery delivery somewhere. And you're going to leave Facebook and Equifax to the underlings?
Hey, the Forestry Service is really important. I just don't think that them managing speeding tickets makes a lot of sense.
Well, speeding tickets don't make a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. We talked about facial recognition. We got Amazon in the game. We've got Palantir watching everybody. Homeland Security is getting into it. Airports and
the Palantir is making money hand over fist. They are hiring people like crazy.
And we've got, across the pond, the EU's loving them. Well, now we can add one more. And it seems like maybe you would have started with this one.
The Secret Service wants to add test facial recognition around the White House. And when they say around the White House, they mean around the White House, like the context of a Yo Mama's joke.
They mean Washington, D.C. and Virginia.
And the river and maybe Maryland, like the entire state of Maryland.
So they point out that a lot of people expressed interest in killing the president. Huh? You know, that's fair enough. Although I'm a firm believer. Now, of course, it's the crazies.
Like, yeah.
The crazies, when you bring the crazies into the equation, I kind of get it. But at the same time, I think the best government is the government who is terrified of us.
The problem, that is true. I would agree with that. The problem with this technology is that they're going to treat it a little bit like Harrison Ford in Blade Runner, where like when the facial recognition technology goes off, they're just going to shoot first and ask questions later. So
I think they already do that at the White House.
The article also mentioned that there's been a 28% failure rate. So like when they were doing facial recognition on members of Congress, it matched 28% of them to people with a mugshot. So that were had an open warrant or whatever.
Is it failure or is it just, you know, clairvoyance?
Is that like Minority Report style? It's like, oh, these people are wanted.
Pretty sure these people are criminals. I can't figure out why. Well, Senator Warner, we talk about, what's the other guy? The guy that's always hammering him on.
That one guy. Ron Wyden.
Yeah, Wyden. He's a filthy socialist. But when it comes to technology, he seems like he knows more than the rest of them. But Warner, I feel like this is another one of those sort of, he's just barking.
Yes.
And he's not really saying anything, but it kind of sounds good.
Senator Warren calls for the U.S. cyber doctrine a new standards for security. We have a long way to go on cyber hygiene and online media consumption habits, say Virginia Democrat Mark Warner. Now, he's talking about all the data breaches and like the Equifaxes of the world and this kind of thing. I really wish that somebody in the security industry, like some noted security researcher, would send him a breakdown of what happened with the OPM hack, the Office of Personnel Management, because I'm pretty sure that was self-inflicted. And that, if he's interested in this kind of thing, he really needs to look into what happened there, because the skeletons are skeletons on top of skeletons in that closet.
Well, how about the NSA toolkit? You know, I mean, this is like the meme of the guy sticking the stick in the bicycle spoke of his own bicycle.
Yeah. Or in this case, instead of a stick in the bicycle wheel, it's literally nuclear arms just sprinkled throughout the globe with no guards of any kind.
I think that there's also a measure of anti-Trumping here. Because Trump has done the cybersecurity thing, but he's doing it more like, let's go on the attack.
He put Rudy Giuliani in charge of his cybersecurity stuff, and he thought Rudy Giuliani tweeted something, and it was like it was a sentence, period, and then another sentence. And the second sentence happened to start with the word "in," and so Twitter automatically converted that to a link, and he thought somebody hacked his Twitter account.
Wow. That's not as bad as the Japanese guy who doesn't use computers.
Two peas in a pod.
And speaking of U.S.-Asian relations.
Oh, taking a turn for the worse.
Not good. I think the trade wars might kick it up a notch after this week, or this last week.
We've already used the headline for this, Huawei or the highway. That's a great headline, but this is not that. This is Huawei's CFO is being accused of fraud, and her main defense is a PowerPoint. So Huawei's CFO had flown to Canada, and she was arrested in Canada and is maybe going to be extradited to the United States for Huawei's selling stuff to Iran. Now, officially, it was some other company that sold stuff to Iran, but the other company even used Huawei's logo. So the Chinese government is up in arms, and they're like saying there's going to be severe sanctions and blah, blah, blah. But the PowerPoint presentation was presented to a Hong Kong bank in like 2011, and it's like, here's how we did an end run around the U.S. restrictions on trading, which I don't think will go over well in U.S. courts.
She's also the daughter of the main guy at Huawei, so maybe a little personal at this point. China has responded to this very aggressively, although that's kind of China's MO. You know, like they'll tell you they're going to kick your ass. They rarely actually will, but they talk a big game. Of course, so does Trump. So it's the back and forth. But they say that she has to be returned immediately.
I'm surprised that they're reacting this way versus, you know, with the the sanction thing. Like, we're going to replace your executive board with an oversight board, and they were not as aggressive in their response to that as they have been this. I think though,
but that threatened business. This is his daughter.
Oh, okay.
And he's a very powerful man. He's got the ear, I'm sure, of the government. So,
speaking of things going wrong in criminal enterprise.
Well, is it going wrong or is it going right? So we've known for a long time that the law enforcement agencies are all over the Bitcoin blockchain. If you're dealing in illegal stuff in Bitcoin, somebody's eventually going to find out.
They're logging it and doing analytics on it is what we mean.
And because it's forever, then they have all the time in the world. So what did everybody do? Switch to the altcoins? Well, guess what?
DHS is looking into tracking Monero and Zcash transactions. So the DHS has had great success with tracking and analyzing Bitcoin transactions already. They are now looking for similar solutions for tracking privacy coins. They're getting pretty good at it, honestly. Some of the stuff that they've demoed with the Bitcoin blockchain is mind-blowing because they have posts everywhere.
Well, I can't remember which one of these it was, but it had that flaw where it posts like fake transactions to throw you off the scent, but it does it predictably.
Yeah.
So that you can begin, if you post enough transactions, you can filter out the fake ones. So there's a flaw in it. I don't know if they ever forked it and fixed that or whatever, but these things have privacy built in, but against the full budget of DHS, it probably won't stand up. So be warned.
It's an arms race, and the clock is ticking.
But it's hard. I mean, the DHS can, you know, they have an unlimited budget nearly, and they can just keep throwing time and manpower at it. Whereas if you have to fork those coins every time to change it, that's not going to work out.
Well, not just forking to change it, but the blockchain is forever. So the technology might not exist today to solve it, but even if 3 or 4 or 5 years from now the technology comes about, that's going to be a bad day for those criminals.
You got a pro criminal tip. Always check out the statute of limitations on your crime. And then, you know, sort of like, okay, what quantum computing? How many years out are we? All right, if I commit this crime now, when will it be trivial for someone to go back and pick up the trail?
And if you're worried about, you know, like, are they really going to put that much effort into coming after me? Look at the D.B. Cooper case.
Well, not only that, but they love to seize coins.
Yeah.
Because that's just free money. You know, you can't, it's not like other assets, at least so far. So they'll take those immediately and auction them off. Of course, you know, crypto's going down the toilet. So I hope they've sold off all the seized coins from all the dark web stuff already.
That's probably what's going on with the price of.
You think they're killing it? Well, across the pond in the EU, they have come to an agreement. So when it comes to cloud computing, we saw this with the Microsoft Ireland thing. There are no good rules in place to say that, okay, if I commit a crime in one country, but my data is on the cloud in another country, can you seize that with a warrant or whatever they do over there? And the answer has been sort of muddy. Well, they've decided to clarify.
Yeah, the EU governments agree to a tougher stance on e-evidence. So all the EU member states, I guess, agreed on Friday to a draft about rules governing evidence collection. And it's I think they're opening Pandora's box and they don't really realize it.
Well, maybe they do realize it. I mean, they're all about just having access to everything. Now, of course, the tech companies are way against this, but the EU doesn't care about them at all.
No. Well, there's no substitute for good old-fashioned police work. I mean, I get that they need some, you know, inter-country cooperation, and I think that there exists some of that, but do we really need to go cross-country for what amount to, like, petty crimes, like vandalism and stuff like that?
Why not if it's easy?
Yeah.
If it's you're sitting at a desk running a query. Right?
It's a slippery slope because pretty soon you're going to be outlawing encryption.
Listen, the government is the, what's the name of the river that cut the Grand Canyon? Snake River, I think.
Yeah.
They're the Snake River of slippery slopes. They want a vertical chasm. That's what they, you know, like full authoritarianism is their goal. So they don't care at all about a slippery slope.
They don't care if it takes 300 generations to get there. Or
right,
just,
yeah. Boil the frog, but just, you know, constant pressure.
I thought it was the Colorado River.
It might be the Colorado River. Pull back when, you know, it gets too hot, but then just continue forward. Well, and so here in America, we have a long tradition in government. And that is, if you have a really contentious legal bill or something that you want to pass, don't let anybody read it. It's very important that no one reads it. Net neutrality, remember they pulled that.
DMCA.
The 9/11 stuff.
Yep.
Remember the, what's her name? The crazy one from California.
Feinstein.
We have to pass it so that we can find out what's in it, was her quote. It was one of those Homeland Security bills. Well, the Australians have learned our tricks.
This is very bad. This is a dark day for Australia. So a hasty, ZDNet has the headline. It's a hasty PJCIS examination of the encryption bill. Produces rushed and contemptuous report. The Australian Labor Party agrees to reverse the sensible order of creating legislation and will pass an encryption-busting bill before reviewing its consequences. So we were warning you that this was coming down the pike. It turns out that it came down the pike a little sooner than we expected.
Yeah, and they rushed it through, didn't give anybody time to look at it, and it has three major points. And the really bad one is that ultimate side gate.
Yeah.
And so you can file this paperwork, go to an internet provider or whoever has data, and basically force them to let you in.
Not only force them to let you in, force them to alter their system to do whatever it is that law enforcement is after in terms of monitoring.
And that is secret until there's a long appeals process. And they have to go through that appeals process just to tell the public, hey, they're making us do this. So until that point, they're not even allowed to tell you about it.
Now, one of the other provisions of the law is really curious. Australian legal eagles have said that the third provision, so it's basically like you must build backdoor access is like the first provision if it's not already there. The second provision is providing access to whatever it is that you built or whatever pre-existing backdoor thing exists. And then the other one is like, cooperation. And the other one is not required, but it also doesn't have the same reporting and oversight as the other two. And some Australian legal eagles have said that one is potentially the most insidious one because they could come back later and say, okay, this is now compulsory. And they're probably not, what has happened historically is they have not added any kind of monitoring or controls or anything like that over the last provision. And the last provision has the potential to be even more invasive than you must build a backdoor into your system that we can use.
So, you know, you ever talk to somebody and they're trying to explain something to you that you know that you're just going to ignore or you already know or they're just wrong about it. And you're like, oh, right, yeah, let's right, yeah, okay, right. That's what China's doing to the U.S.
China announces punishment for intellectual property theft.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we're definitely going to do that. Now, let's talk about Huawei.
That is a good way to summarize this article.
So one of the big, you know, obviously, if you are a U.S. or any kind of Western company and you have a great idea in technology, where are you going to have it built? Probably somewhere in Asia. And China is going to be one of the cheaper options. But once you send it over there, you're going to see, what's the Alibaba, is that there?
Yeah.
Amazon? You're going to see that same product show up on Alibaba. Exactly the same product without your branding. And the Chinese sort of, that's just culturally, that's what they do.
Yeah.
So they've complained about that and the whole trade war thing. And, you know, we're trying to get these, trying to come to some agreement. And Xi claims that he's going to get serious about that.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that. I thought you were going to say that. It's like you ever talk to somebody and it's a conversation like, oh, what's that thing in the kitchen that keeps your food cold? A refrigerator? No, it's like a big box with some doors on it. And it's got like a really cold spot and a not quite as cold spot. A refrigerator? No, it's like that, except instead of a refrigerator, it's the encryption backdoor. Because the politicians keep saying, it's not an encryption backdoor, but it's this thing that lets us do this stuff that's like a backdoor.
What does that have to do with that story?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Just, I thought that's where you were going with the whole, we'll do that because China.
Well, speaking of China, last week we talked about the Marriott Hotel breach, which was going on since 2014. Pretty amazing breach. A lot of people, a lot of information. They're still not sure exactly how they did it or how much they got. Well, guess who's to blame?
Reuters has this article that says, exclusive clues in Marriott hack implicate China. And so, the Marriott, by the way, if you say that, SPG or Marriott or whatever, and you didn't catch that story last week, your information has been leaked a long, long time ago, probably. It's like a catastrophic leak. It's really bad. But they're blaming China. I looked into this, and I'm sure that China was in there, but I think this is a little bit of a smokescreen. Their security was disastrously bad to begin with.
One of the things they pointed out as proof, right, was that a state actor would be in there for the long term. A criminal would just go in and get the credit cards and leave. I don't think that's true at all.
No.
If you're a criminal and you've got, because a hotel is a constant flow of credit cards. Every day you're getting new cards. And you're probably not getting repeats because it's travelers, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's new people all the time, but different people going on vacation. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It would be awesome if you're a criminal and you have a steady stream of cards coming in with names and addresses and all that information.
Well, steady stream of cards. I mean, criminals have literally attacked the supply chain for just like credit card processors so that, credit card scanning machines or whatever that are sent out to retailers are compromised from the start from the factory. And that's a perfectly normal thing to do in criminal enterprise that's become popular the last 5 or 10 years. So, yeah, that's not a state actor doing that. That's just criminal enterprise.
Well, it could be both. Now, this story, I thought about taking this out because it is a bit of a fluff piece. There's not much here, but it is an interesting thing to think about, which is to say using, life, some sort of microscopic life forms as weapons or detection or something like that.
The U.S. military is genetically engineering new life forms to detect enemy subs or divers or anything else in the ocean that's not supposed to be there. There's not really a lot of details here, but I'm reminded of that time that in World War II we trained dolphins to put explosives on the hull of enemy submarines, and that was very effective.
Bad for the dolphins. So the idea here is you could get some sort of, I don't know if it was like algae or plankton or something, and it would react with something that only a submarine exhaled. Like maybe it could be low-level radiation from the nuclear subs, or even the CO2 being pumped out from the crew. And then you monitor those with like little mini subs that, just are stationed in various places communicating back. And you would know when things are moving around in the ocean. Other things that they're working on that are way cooler are adaptive camouflage, which we've seen some people try that. They've got that color-changing thread now.
We've bred a giant squid that we will pilot the submarine into, and then the giant squid will change its skin color, depending.
And self-healing armors, which, again, pretty cool. But this is also one of those things where it's like, could there maybe be a disastrous side effect if we start just gene splicing and throwing things into the ocean,
Couldn't be any worse than the plastic.
Well, I think it could be way worse. This is how we got Godzilla. Well, moving on to the social phase of things, and I apologize, but it is another week of Facebook and another week of disastrous news for Facebook because we've had a a leak of internal documents that are extremely damning.
For God's sakes, don't tune out on the Facebook stories now. It's just getting interesting. My prediction is going to be that Zuckerberg is probably going to go into a homicidal rage if things continue as they are.
He's got to be on edge.
The Verge headline is, Facebook knew Android call scraping would be high risk, and the new documents reveal. So, did we talk about how these internal documents came to light? Because that story is amazing. We did the last week, didn't we?
I don't remember. It's in both of these stories, but it's we did talk about the what was it like 369 or something that company
six four three or something.
And it's because of a lawsuit. They did an app that lets you search for people in bikini pics. Oh, yeah. We talked about Facebook cutting off the data.
Yeah.
So Facebook cut off their data because they found that was in poor taste. And they sued them. And all of this are leaks from those court documents.
Well, it's even more interesting than that because Zuckerberg has refused inquiries by Parliament in the UK. And so this business person involved in the lawsuit was traveling in the UK. And so all these legal documents that are under seal and normally probably wouldn't be discoverable in the U.S. because it's not really attorney-client privilege because this person wasn't really supposed to have these documents anyway. But it's from a law firm. Like, it's private, internal, like the most damning stuff you can imagine. And this business person was traveling in Europe and they happened to have those documents. And because Zuckerberg, the stated reason from the Europeans is because Zuckerberg had refused the inquiries, they decided to arrest this person and seize or unlock whatever documents they had or made them turn over documents or whatever.
It was worse than that. They literally threatened him.
Yeah.
It was like, because they have, the same way we have contempt of court, they have some kind of like contempt of parliament thing.
Yeah.
And so they're like, listen, we can do whatever we want. We can lock you up indefinitely. You will give us these documents.
And just when, like last week, it was like, oh, this stuff looks really bad. But it was a lot of documents. And they've gotten to some even more good stuff. Like they hit the first vein and it's like, there's gold here. And then they kept going and it's like, this is the mother load.
Yeah. Two really big ones this week. And this is the first one that, so if you are on Android using Facebook, the app was scraping your call records. Now, we already knew this from the earlier leak.
We knew this from the congressional testimony, but at that point, the Zuckerbot characterized it as collecting data to help users do stuff. It's like, we hadn't even thought about monetizing it, but we see here that that was not the case.
And that if they were doing it without permission, that was a total mistake. Well, this proves otherwise. These emails literally say, hey, here's how we can do this. We're going to have to ask the user's permission. And then another engineer was like, we don't actually have to. There's this loophole that we can use. And then somebody responded and was like, option two.
You guys that work in technology, you know all about option two.
Yeah,
we're forced into option two a lot as well.
Option two is rough. Option two is where option one is, you know, like two paragraphs of how you didn't do it. Option two is 12 paragraphs. 11 of them are why we shouldn't do this. And you always hear back, option two. But it only gets worse because more from this leak. Remember we talked about Onavo? Is it Onavo? Is that the name of it? The VPN?
Yeah. The Facebook-sponsored VPN.
Let me make sure what the... I don't know. You can just correct us if we're wrong. I think it's called Onavo. Anyway, we told you when that came out. I remember we talked about this. You'd be insane to use it because obviously whatever's going to go across it, yeah, it's going to be encrypted to everybody else, but Facebook can see it.
You know, this is the free VPN service that Facebook offered. So remember when we covered it, it's like Facebook came out with this press release. There was this feel good lovey dovey thing. It was like, the internet access, your ISP's monitoring it. Facebook has got you covered. Facebook takes data seriously, data privacy very, very seriously. We're going to give everybody a free VPN. And it was through this third party. Well, turns out Mashable has got the scoop on this.
Yeah. So they were using that VPN data to look at everything you were doing.
Yes.
Apple actually pulled this from their app store because they looked at it and they were like, no, bro, this violates every data privacy policy we have. We know what you're doing here. It's still on the Android store. So those people can use it. And the people who got it before it was taken off the store, it does still function. Well, what they mined out of it is literally the reason they bought WhatsApp and Snapchat. They were looking at what you were doing other than using Facebook. And they were like, oh, I see what we should acquire.
And it works.
It worked beautifully.
I wonder if this, since this is just coming out now, I wonder if this is going to be a GDPR fine.
When did they buy those? It's been
a long time since they bought them, but the new, it's when you disclose the
and he did lie about it.
And there are people that are still using the VPN service. So if you're in the Europe and you're using the Europe, if you're in Europe and you're using the Facebook VPN service, you might want to, like, I don't know. Who do you contact for a GDPR violation in that
your,
case?
Your MIPS. Was it MIPS? MIPS. Member of European Parliament, right?
Somebody in the comments is going to let us know, but that is going to be disaster. That's going to be, like, world ending for Facebook, potentially.
Well, but that's got to be the worst of it, right? I mean, these leaked documents, it can't get any worse than this. Well, when asked that question, the Zuck had an interesting answer.
Yeah, the Telegraph says that Facebook fears that more secret documents have been leaked. So they really have no idea what all has been leaked at this point.
Oh, I think they don't have any idea what's leaked. But based on this answer, I think they know it could get way worse.
Yeah.
So it's like the worst case scenario is probably several orders of magnitude worse than this.
Yeah.
Based on this answer.
So here's an interesting crossroads, at least for us in the US. So Congress asked the Zuck all of these questions about all of the stuff. And, you know, honestly, his answers weren't really that terrible. And most of the people that were asking him questions honestly seemed to be barely literate. Do you think that with these revelations coming out showing that he either outright lied or strongly misled, that any consequences will come of that? I mean, I'm sure, like, Ron Wyden and maybe Feinstein, but anybody else?
Well, lying to Congress is a crime, right?
Oh, one would think.
I don't know if that's actually true, but we are in a political situation where lying to an authority or under oath is in the spotlight because you got the whole Mueller Trump thing going on. And I think it could be because the narrative has to be, it's never acceptable to do that. They could totally throw Zuckerberg under the bus just to prove a point.
Yeah. A lot of his answers in the congressional testimony were definitely, that wasn't our intention. We didn't mean to do that. We're going to try to do a better job of this, that, and the other. But these leaks are showing that he is exactly as sociopathic as he appeared to be trying to monetize all of this data.
And it wasn't just him. I mean, these are other people in these emails. So yeah, it's not even just a crazy man at the helm. I mean, it is, but it's not just him. Either everybody is there with him or they're just too afraid to do anything about it.
And Facebook, internally, their people know. They know, and they know what's up.
Yeah. Well, and you're looking at, you know, Facebook as a brand, and you're thinking to yourself, is it time to jump ship? Is this ship sinking? Well, if you are thinking that, you're not vocalizing it. And if you are vocalizing it, you're being very cautious.
The New York Magazine has a really interesting article. Facebook employees are so paranoid, they're using burner phones to talk to each other. So there is apparently a lot of unrest at Facebook, and some sources here for this article report that employees, these are pretty high level employees, are using burner phones to talk about things. And they're like, oh gosh, you know, if that was wrong, then this other thing was wrong. And I don't want to be in a spotlight. I don't want to get in trouble. But also because would you say that there is an air of vindictiveness from the executive committee, which is driving some of the secrecy?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, the anti-leaking, you know, campaigns and the whole, like, we're failing and it's everybody else's fault seems to be how things are at Facebook. And good Lord, you don't want to be. And you know they're listening to everything, right? Yeah. You know that everything you do at Facebook, you're probably mandated to have the Anavo VPN on your phone if you work there. So you know that you have
to be. It's for your safety.
You know how bad it is, so you know the precautions you have to take. Which I guess that's a vote of confidence for burner phones.
How many times has this scenario showed up in dystopian science fiction where it's like you can't say anything around your smart speaker or any, because, you know, they might be listening? I mean, that's literally happening to these employees.
What you mean, making speech a crime or something that you can be taken down for is a bad thing for societies? Well,
I get the feeling that some of our past presidents, if we're seeing the scenario folding out, would probably send in the National Guard and give refugee status to those employees.
Well, so Facebook, you know, that was big this week, but probably among our audience, the more newsworthy and the more devastating thing to find out was the Tumblr fiasco.
Tumblr is coming to an end December 17th. PSA, don't forget, you need to go get all your stuff.
Well, it's not coming to an end. That's incorrect. Only one part of Tumblr is coming to an end.
The motherboard headline is a quarter of Tumblr's users are there to consume porn, data scientists estimate. And so Tumblr is cracking down not just on porn, but anything even like vaguely remotely adult content. Like their algorithm for determining if something is adult content or not is not very good. And so it's taking down a lot of stuff.
And this is all fallout from the App Store removal. So they're trying to do anything they can to get back into Apple's good graces. And they took a very heavy-handed step of saying no adult content whatsoever. Now, this, you know, some researchers looked into this. I think they were already doing this before that happened. And they were just studying Tumblr. And they discovered that as much as a quarter of Tumblr users are just there for the porn. Here's the amazing part. That's not surprising, right? It's the internet. Of course, I mean, a quarter of people there for the porn, probably a low number. But here's the crazy part. 71% female.
Wow.
Women look at porn on Tumblr.
Nice.
Which, you know, maybe it's like Planet Fitness, you know, it's like a place you can go to enjoy porn without all the judging and the masculinity, you know. What a terrible thing to take that away from them. But they've also estimated that, I mean, you know, 25%, if 25% of your user base goes away, that's a difficult blow, which maybe is what you were talking about. It might be the end of them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking is that, you know, once they do this, it's just going to... Tumblr had such a good thing going for a while, but they could have made this change slowly over time and carefully, but the Apple thing has really sent them into a frenzy. But how crazy is it that Apple can effectively dictate stuff on your platform? Because I get the feeling that they made a lot of revenue through their iOS installations.
Well, the Tumblr hipsters, you know, those are Apple people.
Yeah,
especially in the 71% women.
I wish those hipsters would get clued into like real technology.
Yeah, you want their weird furry porn on your
stuff? No, they would not be welcome at the Level 1 forum.
Well, we got to give them a place, man. That's the thing about it. You know, you keep cutting out all the fringes and you don't give them any place to be and weird stuff starts happening.
It's kind of like the YouTube algorithm. It's like, oh, this is what everybody enjoys on average. No one will enjoy that.
Yeah, you got to give people a place, and it doesn't make any sense for Apple to ban porn. Although I think there was like a child pornography thing going on there too, which is really weird.
Yeah.
And I understand that. You know, you got to try to do something about that. But yeah, it is probably, and I wonder, do you think somebody is going to try and capture the Tumblr porn audience somehow?
Pornhub?
They would like to, but again, I think it's sort of an eclectic mix of pornography. You know, not your traditional stuff.
I don't know. They've put a lot of like the defense distributed stuff up, even stuff that YouTube doesn't want to carry anymore.
I guess maybe that's any entrepreneurs out there.
Didn't Larry Flint do a bunch of that too? Like Larry Flint did a bunch of First Amendment stuff other than porn.
He got real political after he got shot. Yeah, but I don't think anybody took it seriously.
That's it for today's episode.
Tomorrow we got a big block of business. It was just a massive amount of business news this week.
There's so much. Well, business and technology, because we really roll business into technology these days.
Well, listen, if it's technological, it's for sale. Yeah. Unless it's government, then it goes in here.
Or unless it's vaporware, as we cover sometimes.
So, yeah, big giant block of that. We might sneak science in there just for flavor. See you then.